3 John, and we're reading verses 1 through 8 in 3 John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Loving Father, we do thank you that as we read this very short letter to Gaius, we're thankful, Father, that you do reveal wonderful things about those who walk with you, that they walk in truth, that they are well beloved, and that they have lives full of the Spirit of God, and that they are serving and helping others in the ministry. Father, we thank you and pray that we also may be as sober-minded and serious-minded as to serve you with these characteristics. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this writing, this epistle, we find that 3 John is pretty much the shortest book in the New Testament, just one line shorter than 2 John in the original, illustrates the divine truth that all Scripture is profitable. Even the very shortest of the epistles have wonderful truth in them concerning the Word of God and our Christian lives, and we may realize that God means for all of the Scripture to be profitable to us. Also, that John and his key words are love and truth, and we see them being used here as we saw those same words being used in 2 John. And we find that John shows the tenderness and the love of one who is a minister of the gospel, and he commends those who are helping others. And so we find the authorship then, there is no reason for us to question that John, the beloved, did write this book somewhere around 90 to 95 A.D., probably after his exile to the Isle of Patmos. And we find that, of course, he writes to Gaius. He says, whom I love in the truth. And, of course, we find that Gaius, the hospitable and spiritual one, Demetrius, the commendable, and Diotrephes, the self-seeking and unloving, in the sense that he was not as faithful to God. Unloving Diotrephes may illustrate the sense of a strong-willed personality that he had. So we find that John writes to Gaius. He says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. So if we are looking for characteristics of a godly life as living after a godly manner, that is the theme I gave to these verses, we find that Gaius is an example of that. And he calls himself, John calls himself an elder, and he is writing unto Gaius. And probably whether he is referring to himself as an elder in a sense of an office or an elder in such a in sense of an older, both of those may apply, certainly. John would have the qualifications to be called an elder in the sense of one who is spiritual and qualified to speak to the churches, and of course he would be along in years at this time. But he writes unto Gaius, and he says, "Whom I love in the truth." And this theme, of course, is one that we have seen before, and one which is commendable of characteristics of those who live a godly life, that they walk in the truth, and that our walk with God always ought to be in the truth. The truth of the Word of God, the truth that is according to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and truth which is commendable truth, that is, truth which is able to defend the gospel of Christ. And so he had a life of truth that was his apologetic, if you will. Secondly, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. So, though John is asking or saying that he would pray that Gaius would be in good health, it might indicate to us that perhaps he didn't think Gaius was in that good a health. He may have had word that he was not feeling well, or perhaps had some infirmities. But he adds, even as thy soul prospereth. And so he did add this. That gives us the direct impression that his spiritual life was in good health, even though his physical life may not have been in good health. Someone has said, you know, the faith movement, the word of faith movement, tends to judge a person's spiritual health by their physical health. And that is always a poor way to judge someone's spiritual life by their physical life. We have bodies which become sick and become problematic to us as we grow older. We aren't told how old Gaius is here. But John, in his years, no doubt felt the infirmity of his years, and I'm sure if Gaius was older, he perhaps felt the infirmity of his years. Even if he wasn't a older man at this time, he still could have had physical problems, as we know that they are not uncommon to us in our life, that there can be various kinds of things that would affect the body for various reasons, whether it be the food we eat, whether it be allergies that might reveal themselves, or some other chronic condition which might be a part of our lives. Even Paul had his thorn in the flesh, which may have been some kind of physical problem. There was the woman taken who had the issue of blood in the Gospels, which, of course, she sought relief from, but she had been to many physicians and had not gotten the relief which she looked for. There were many people in the Gospels, of course, men who were either lame or had a withered hand or were born blind or had other types of infirmities, and these were not necessarily an indication of spiritual life. They were simply the infirmities of life. And because Jesus did have much mercy and grace unto those that he came in contact with, he often healed them, and their spiritual life became much more in view to them. Well, here is Gaius, and John says that he would wish above all, desire above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Well, this is a kind of a constant prayer that we have, isn't it? We want to be in good health. In fact, it seems to be one of the things we kind of focus on more than anything else many times, and certainly the world focuses on it. They do everything they can to somehow improve health. In fact, The whole nation wants to have health insurance in our country today. And there is a great push to make sure everybody has adequate health insurance. And for various reasons, of course, but primarily because the society doesn't want to have the burden of people being sick, nor of their early deaths, nor of the workforce being inhibited, nor of the spread of disease, and so on and so forth. But here we find that Gaius was somehow suffering from some physical problems, and that John would pray that he would be in good health, even as thy soul is in good health, even as thy soul prospereth. And so the prospering of our soul is a wonderful thing that we can look to, and much more than simply health, of course. We all have to bear the infirmities of the flesh, but probably the greater infirmity is a poor spiritual life, one that does not walk with God or is not characterized as a godly life, or one which is suffering because of an ungodly life. And that can impact the body greatly, of course. One who is suffering from an ungodly life can cause many things to affect the body. So even the world tends to look in that direction every now and then, but they usually choose the wrong sources. They choose yoga to try to improve their spiritual life, or meditations of various Eastern branches, or various kinds of things like this. So even the world thinks that if they can improve their health in some way by some religiosity or spiritualism, they will do it. And of course, this has been going on for a number of years. It's nothing new, that sort of thing. But the resurgence, I guess, of this sort of thing is pretty much due to the New Age movement and its propagation by medicine, even by science, seems to propagate the New Age movement and in various ways. And I'm not advocating the New Age movement, by the way. I don't believe that is any benefit to our spiritual health. I would say that you need to follow the principles and precepts of the Word of God to have good spiritual health and to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But here is John. He is seeking to give a word of encouragement to Gaius in this manner. And so we gather that he is the much-beloved believer who was now being commended by John. I think that is good, that we do commend others who are walking in faith and trusting in the Lord. And that does not mean that we should puff anybody up falsely, or nor should we in some way heap a bunch of pride on somebody, you know, that they become over proud and so forth. I do not think that is the case here. John is just simply showing a great desire to encourage Gaius. And it's good that we encourage one another, isn't it? It's good. We should encourage one another in the Lord. And that is what he is seeking to do as we look at this. In verse 3 he says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee." The brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, in you, Gaius. You know, see, and what does John do? John is rejoicing. Sometimes people become jealous of others who are walking with the Lord. And that may be their own defect. And that is not good. There is no place for jealousy because somebody is walking with the Lord and living a good spiritual life. One should never be jealous of that. One should be desirous to have a good walk with the Lord. And so it should cause them to pray much for their own walk. And if necessary, go to that person if you think that they are real spiritual, and if they are, they will help you in your walk with the Lord. They will pray for you, encourage you in it. So he says, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Something else that we see here, Gaius didn't come and tell John that he was walking in the truth. The brethren came and told John that Gaius was walking in it. Let someone else praise you in the gates, is what the scripture says. That is how we are to accept commendation, if you will. Let somebody else praise you for what you are doing for the Lord. Don't do it yourself. Because that is more of a mark of pride and arrogancy than it is a true spiritual life. You should always take the meek and the humble position and seek, like Christ, not to show anything but a life of sacrifice and service and honor toward God and a desire to live for Him. And so the spiritual person is not a proud person. The spiritual person does not toot their own horn, as it were. The spiritual person walks with God and does not look for commendation, but they receive it as others give it in their behalf. And that is not a forced thing. It is a natural thing. And so you may know somebody, in fact, that you look and you look to and say, well, the Lord is really using that person, or they're blessing that person, or they're a great blessing to me, and I'm greatly encouraged because of their life. And that is a commendation that is okay to give. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, again, and I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now, whether or not he is saying that Gaius is one that he has led to Christ, or whether he is saying that this is just as a family term, using a term like brotherly love, a child of God, another child of God, walking in the truth. We're not exactly sure, but I don't know as it really matters. The only thing that really matters is that Gaius loves the Lord, that he is walking in truth, and that his spiritual life is to be commended. Those are the things that matter. And those are the things that matter about us, too. Those are the things that matter about us. And we should always, as it were, seek to promote that kind of thing in our life. We should seek to live the truth. We should seek to be known as those who live for the Lord and have a true spiritual life with Christ, and that we should live that humble, contrite life that God might commend us on His ground rather than upon our own, and that others might rejoice with us in it. And I think that is good, that we do rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and realize that as brethren in Christ, that is part of our responsibility too, to rejoice with those who rejoice. To those who walk in truth, to those who live in that true life of Christ. Okay, going on to the next section here, we find that Gaius is given to hospitality. Part of his ministry seems to be in helps to others. He says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Well, to be a minister to others is a great thing. It's very encouraging. It shows that one is not self-centered, but one is more outgiving, giving to others. One is more willing to serve than to be served. And Gaius seems to be that kind of fellow here. And John also is thankful of that. Beloved, thou doest faithfully, he says, thou doest faithfully. And so when you see someone who is seeking to serve others and seeking to be hospitable toward others, you see someone who is not self-centered. And he even does this toward the brethren and even to strangers. And we know in the book of Hebrews it talks about entertaining strangers unawares as one who might be of such a hospitality as to bless others through their hospitality. And it may be even that God might send along one of his messengers that you might entertain and you didn't even know it. But God knew it. And that is a good thing. You might think of Abraham and how he received those three guests on the plains of Mamre, I think it was, outside of Sodom, quite a distance from Sodom, actually. And there he entertained those angels. And at first, I don't think he knew who they were. They were travelers on the way. And as he brought them in and brought some milk and some fresh meat for them and some bread and began to show hospitality to them, of course, the Lord revealed himself to him. And we find that that whole scene unfolded. But Abraham was not omniscient. He didn't know everything. God had to reveal the things to him that he received. And it is likewise with us. So we have to be ready to allow God to work in us and through us, even in hospitality. And usually it is a very blessed time to open your home up in hospitality to others. I find that it is encouraging. In verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. So here it is, he says that Gaius had a certain charity, a certain love demonstrated toward the church, toward the brethren, toward believers, to the assembly, as it were, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Here the phrase to bring forward on their journey seems to imply that Gaius was supplying something for them. You might liken it today to, say, there was a missionary that came to church, right? And a missionary was ministering in the church. Well, we'll say it's Ed Seeley. He came for a conference with us. And what did you do? You went up to Evangelist Seeley and you said, would you like to come home with us tonight and for supper, for dinner? Well, we've got some wonderful steak and mashed potatoes. And we're going to have a nice barbecue. And Ed said, sure, I'd love to do that. It'd be a great privilege for me to do that. Well, you see, that's the kind of charity that supplies something for others in the church, in the ministry. And that seems to be what this is implying here, that Gaius was involved in such things. And you kind of can picture that in your mind. Here is Gaius in the first century, and he probably has his little home, and perhaps he either goes to another home somewhere, and they're involved in an assembly of people coming together, and it may be that there's the opportunity for him to entertain somebody. And so he says, why don't you come on over tonight? And I have some barley and I have some raisins and I have some grapes and I have a fresh lamb. And we'll just sit down together and enjoy the time together. And by the way, if you need some food to take with you, I can just pack you up some things so you can take it, because I know you're going to be leaving Rome and you're going over towards Athens or somewhere. And continuing your ministry, so I want to help you on your way too, if I can do that. You know, such hospitality and charity is well beloved. Well beloved. And I think that that is a good thing. to think of others in such a charitable way. And so he says, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, we get the sense of them traveling, thou shalt do well. Thou shalt be blessed for such things. And it is always a blessing, isn't it, to do that sort of thing. And I wish we could do more of it. Truly, it is a great blessing to share in such a way as to encourage others in the work. You know, sometimes people who are out serving the Lord, traveling around, doing ministry, they may find that there's a lot of different people there meet. But then that one or two individuals that simply goes beyond their expectations, you might say, and provides for them and encourages them and doesn't require of them. I think that's one of the things that Ed Seeley sometimes talks about, if sometimes he finds a ministry that ministers more to him than they to them, than he does to them. Because sometimes the people who go around serving sometimes need to be ministered to themselves. And so you can think about that, how you can minister to people who are also ministering to others themselves. And Gaius seemed to be this kind of guy. And then lastly here, God's work being supported, he says, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Of course, the Gentiles is the world, right? Now, those who come into the ministry and are involved in ministering, who should be supporting them but those who are also believers? No ministry, no one who is serving the Lord should take their living from the world, from the ungodly. No, that should not be the case. It should always be that the church is known for supporting its own people, its own ministers of the gospel. And from what I have seen in ministry, sometimes this is lacking in churches, that sometimes churches are much too miserly with what they have, that they don't give freely enough to those who are ministering to them. I know that that's kind of a big subject area that can get into, but it's enough said that we should be more than generous with those who go out and serve the Lord and minister of the gospel of Christ. And certainly they should not be required to take from the world in any way. Whether it means that people have to work out so they can support themselves and the church kind of only gives them pittances, or whatever you, how you ever might interpret that, the world should not be the one they're getting their living from. It should be those whom they are ministering to. And verse 8, for we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. How do we become fellow helpers of the truth? By ourselves being co-laborers with those who are of the truth, who minister in the truth. And so let us remember that. Let us be co-laborers with those who also serve the Lord. Let us be charitable to them. Let us support them in any way that we can. Let us be loving and serving and hospitable to them and be in the truth and loving the truth and serving the Lord together. As living after a godly manner, that we might be known for those characteristics. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you that Gaius was such a man and that he was commended of John, and that these truths are very commendable indeed of any who might live after a godly manner. We give thanks and praise to you, Father, asking for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.